As we reach the end of our service this morning, let me encourage you to take your Bible and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 for a few moments before we close. 1 Timothy 1, if you need a Bible, there should be one down among the hymnals there. I'd love for each of us to see these thoughts from the pages of Scripture and not just listen to them from someone up front this morning. As we look at the few verses in front of us, they really just remind us of what we've heard in song and Scripture reading already, pointing us to the reason why Jesus came and what our response to His coming should be. Before we get into the text of Scripture, I'd ask you a question. I do this often for the people that are here week after week. I realize some of you aren't used to that, but you don't have to respond out loud. That's the good news. I am curious, where did you get your news this week? Maybe it was the internet. I would assume that's the answer for many. Maybe it was the paper. I don't know how many people still get the paper, but perhaps you're one of those that still gets the paper. Maybe it was the radio. Maybe it's just from others. You're like, I don't really do the news thing, and I understand that. But you just got it as people were telling you, oh, did you hear about such and such is going on? And we could get further into where you got your news as to who the publisher was, and that gets scary and contentious and sometimes hard to understand. I was thinking that there's this term that's been thrown out often over the last few years that I don't remember hearing 10 years ago. Maybe it was out there, but over and over today, things get labeled. That's fake news. You hear it in every direction. You hear it from people who are just trying to dismiss someone who disagrees with them. You hear it from people who are trying to say, well, that's not true, and I want to stand up for the truth. And really, we're left questioning oftentimes today, what is true? What's accurate with the news? Scientifically, I've read this, I hear this, what's true? We're medically, right? Well, this is true, that's true. Well, here's what the doctors say, here's what social media says, and we kind of go all over the place. And my goal this evening is not, or this morning, is not to solve those different issues of fake news. Rather, my goal is to point you to what Scripture says is good news, and in fact says it is right news, and I believe wonderfully says it's reliable news. Again, you've gathered this morning on Easter to focus on the work of Jesus Christ, to be reminded He died for our sins, He rose again. And the Bible tells us that's gospel truth. That word gospel just simply means that's good news, and it is true. While there's things that we could debate and decide and people can disagree about and all of that, what we look at this morning in Scripture, I would just tell us, is good news. It's right. It's reliable. You can bank on it. And in fact, that's the way the Apostle Paul, after giving his personal testimony, introduces the thoughts we're going to briefly look at. Look down with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where again, the Apostle Paul writes under inspiration by the Spirit of God and says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Like, before we get into the verses that follow and the words that follow, just realize what he just said. This is faithful. We might say it this way. We often do this here to say this is right and it's reliable, or it's reliably right. You can bank on this. You don't have to wonder if it's going to change. Like, I was thinking this week about some of the rules of grammar or spelling or that we learn. I don't know if you struggled with this, but I remember struggling. It's like, okay, I want to do well with spelling. And you know the familiar rule, right? That IE rule. You could probably say it. I before E. Oh, there's an exception to the rule. And then you go, except after C, or there's another exception to the rule when sounded like A, as in neighbor or way. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I got it. There's two exceptions to the rule. The rule is I before E, except after C, or except when sounded like A, as in neighbor or way. And then you run into words like caffeine and foreign. And you're like, it's not foreign, it's foreign. There's no C, so there's another exception to the rule, and we could keep going on and on. You know what Paul tells us here, there's no exception to. This is truth, it's reliable. It is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. Not some. It's something I need to believe, you need to believe, everybody needs to believe. Not everybody will, but everybody needs to. Paul then points us to, here's why Jesus came. Or we might say, here's his purpose. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul looks at himself and says, of whom I'm chief. Like, Paul viewed himself and his sinfulness and goes, I was the worst of the worst. But he realizes this truth. Jesus came to this world not to simply be a good teacher, not to simply set an example as a good man, not to establish some kind of religion that people would follow for millennia to come. Here's why Jesus came into this world. Here's his reason. To save sinners. To rescue people who were hopelessly lost because of sin. Christ came into the world to save me and to save you. Christ came into the world to do what was needed to provide salvation for any who would believe. Again, that it applies to everybody. Scripture tells us very clearly in Romans 3, verse 10 and verse 23, that we are all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. Me, you, everybody. But Christ came to provide rescue from our sins. He did that in dying on the cross for our sins, in rising again. Pastor Gingery earlier read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, that tell us what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ came to provide rescue for our sins by dying in our place and rising again. That is the gospel. It changes lives. It transforms us. The Apostle Paul, I won't read it for sake of time, but in verses 11 through 14 of the chapter, he says, I've been entrusted with this message of good news, this gospel. Here's who I was, and it's not a pretty picture. It's a picture of sin. Even though Paul was religious, Paul was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, he worked to keep the law. He was very much focused on his own efforts. In spite of all of that, he realized he needed to be saved. He needed to be rescued from his sins. Because the reality is, our efforts, our works, never rescue us from our sins. Right? It's that wonderful truth from Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace, undeserved favor, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Same guy, Apostle Paul, later in writing to Titus, will say, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. Paul tells us here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, why did Jesus come? Here's his purpose, to save sinners. I wonder for each person here, have you experienced that salvation? You're like, well, how? What do I need to do? And Paul's going to touch that, and we'll look at it here in just a moment. He's going to tell us that here's what Jesus did, here's the reason he came, but here's your response. It should be one of praise, like rejoicing, going, this is great, he's come to save sinners. But before he gets to praise, he points to a foundation that's needed. You see, praise doesn't happen unless it starts with personal faith. Again, look at the verses there with me. He says in let me just read all of verse 16. He says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Apostle Paul's like, Jesus used me as an example to show how merciful, how longsuffering he is, so that people down the road would also believe to life everlasting. Again, he tells us there, here's the key to salvation. Here's the foundation before we can get to praise. We must believe on him to life everlasting. To believe on Jesus. To go, he is the one who came. He did die on the cross for my sins. He did rise again. I believe on him for life, not just now, but life everlasting. He did not say, I am a pattern for those who hereafter would keep all the rules of the church. He did not say again, I am a pattern for those who would work really hard to try to earn God's favor. He said, I'm a pattern for those who would believe life everlasting. Just like Ephesians 2:8. Just like Titus chapter 3, verse 5. I like the way Paul says it so simply in Romans 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you confess that with your mouth, you are saved from your sin. And so the simple question again for all of us is, go, if Jesus' purpose was to save sinners, and that happens by believing, has there ever been a time where you said to God, God, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve punishment for you, but God, I believe Jesus is the one who came to save me from my sins. God, would you just save me? If you haven't done that, I would tell you today ought to be the day where you say, God, I am a sinner, but I believe Jesus came to die for my sins. He rose again. God, would you save me? Salvation is that simple. Again, there's so much religion that's going to tell us, well, here's what you have to do, and you'll never really know for sure. Paul's saying, here's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Jesus came to save sinners, and he used me as an example to all who would believe to life everlasting. It is on that basis then that we come to our purpose, that purpose of praise. Verse 17, as the Apostle Paul ends giving his testimony, pointing to the purpose of why he has come or why Jesus came, he says, now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It's like, because Jesus came to provide, save sinners, because Jesus rescued me, Paul says, because it is there for any who would believe on it to life everlasting, he is the one who is in control of all. He is the sovereign one. And so he deserves praise. He deserves glory. I mean, just look at his character there again, right? Eternal, never had a beginning, never had an ending. He is immortal. No one can put him to death. Jesus demonstrated that in his resurrection. Immortal, invisible. While we do not see him, we believe. The only wise God. He has no rivals. He is the wise God. He deserves to be praised. As we finish our time together this morning, I'd like to just for a moment, give you an opportunity to talk to God. For some of you, that's a very regular experience. For some of you, it might be a very new experience, might feel awkward if you're like, I don't know if I want to pray, I don't know if I want to talk to God. That's fine. You can just sit there quietly, respectfully to others. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I realized today, I don't know that I've realized it before, but I realized today that Jesus came to save sinners. And I need to believe what Jesus did is what was needed. I need to believe that Jesus died and rose again. Talk to God in prayer and tell him. Just say, God, this is new to me, or God, I don't think I've done this before, but God, I know I'm a sinner and that Jesus died for me and rose again. Would you save me? It's that simple. On the other hand, maybe you're here this morning like, I did that a long time ago. I did that recently. It doesn't really matter when, but you're like, I know that I've done that. Can I just ask you to pray and give thanks to God for what he has done? Say, God, thank you for providing salvation. Thank you for making it only by faith. Thank you for showing me mercy and long-suffering in your grace. I'm going to give each of you just a moment to talk to God privately, silently, and then I'm going to come back and close us in prayer. Father, once more, as we've gathered today, we are thankful for your wise plan. That in spite of our sin and rebellion against you, you in love and mercy sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins and to demonstrate so wonderfully your power in overcoming sin in the grave and giving us hope of eternity with you. Father, once more, I would ask if there's one here who is unsure of salvation through Christ, that today, through your word, by your spirit, maybe through the encouragement even of a friend, you would help them to understand their need of you and to ask you to save them. Lord, for believers that are here, I pray that you would cause us to rejoice in your work, to seek to share that same message with yet others still. God, as we conclude, we recognize that you have loved us, and so we desire now to love you in return. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.